Have you forgotten that when we became Christians and were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, we died with him? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised as he was. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Good evening. So I travel a lot for work, and despite the fact that I've been on airplanes for far more times than I care to count, the thought of the plane crashing in a fiery wreck inevitably crosses my mind right as we take off from solid ground. Now, I know that flying is supposed to be the safest way to travel, but there's just something about flying hundreds of miles an hour, 30,000 feet above the surface of the Earth, in a huge metal tube with wings that prompts thoughts of death to surface. So I don't know what it is, but thinking about death really makes me reflect on how I'm living my life and spending my time. For example, I'm usually running around like crazy trying to get everything ready before heading to the airport and catching up on any last-minute bits of work before I leave. However, before my last trip, my son came up to me and said that he wanted to spend as much time with me as possible before I left. Thinking about that remote possibility of the plane crashing made me realize exactly how I wanted to spend my time: playing games with my son right up until the very moment I had to leave. If I were going to die, I could think of no better way of spending my time. And that's exactly how I want to live my life: reflecting on the possibility of death, so I have no regrets on how I chose to live. Now, I know that sounds a bit morbid, but reflecting on your death actually has deep Christian roots going back to ancient times. In fact, some religious people in the Middle Ages used to carry human skulls with them to remind them of their own death. Some monks and nuns would even greet each other with the Latin phrase, memento mori, which translates to, remember your death. Memento mori, remember your death. What a paradoxical and profound way to draw attention to how we are living today. To live in such a way that we are prepared to die at any point, because that point will inevitably come for each and every one of us. Unfortunately, it seems so rare that we actually reflect on or prepare for our deaths. For example, Bronnie Ware, a palliative care nurse, composed a book about the top five regrets of the dying. Regrets included working too hard, trying to live up to others' expectations, not expressing their feelings, not staying in touch with friends, and not allowing themselves to be happier. I wonder how many of those regrets could have been avoided if we spent more time preparing for and reflecting on our deaths while we were still alive. How might your priorities change if you reflected regularly on your death? We're also in an age where we do all that we can to avoid any reminders of death. The anti-aging market, with its cosmetics, facelifts, Botox, hair restoration, and surgeries geared toward that conquest for the never-ending fountain of youth, is estimated to reach over $250 billion globally in the next 5 years. In fact, there are now some extremely wealthy people who are paying to get blood infusions from young people for the hope of staying youthful for longer. Instead of running from the inevitable, how might remembering that we must die affect how we live today? So the idea of memento mori is at the forefront of a commencement address delivered by Steve Jobs at Stanford University. Facing the battle to cancer, Steve Jobs could not help but remember his death. And he told the students, and I quote, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart," end quote. We also face the inescapability of death. And as Christians, our actions should be guided by preparing for our death in the hope of the resurrection. When we stand before God and he asks us to give an account of our lives, will you be able to state confidently that you lived your life for him? Ignatius of Antioch, a Christian martyr in the early second century, clearly had death on the forefront of his mind as he was arrested and going to be killed for refusing to die for his faith. He was a highly respected bishop, and legend holds that he was actually the child who Jesus picked up and presented to his apostles, saying, "Unless you become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Ignatius prayed that he would have the strength to endure his suffering and wrote to other Christians to stop them from trying to interfere with his sentence. Reflecting on the resurrection, Ignatius said, "When I suffer, I shall be free in Jesus Christ, and with him shall rise again in freedom." Remembering our death and living in the hope of Jesus enables each of us to freely live in the way that God intends for each of us. Now, the crazy thing is, though, is that memento mori means so much more than looking towards and planning for your future death. It also means remembering the death you have already died in Christ. As Paul noted in his letter to the Romans, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Or in Paul's letter to the Galatians, stating, "I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me." As a Christian, you have already died. The life you live is no longer your own, but glorified in Christ. Now, having died in Christ is actually a regular theme in Paul's writings, and he talks about it in Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and Philippians. Thus, memento mori calls us to remember our death in Christ, to remember that we are living fully for God. And as far as I know, dead people have no fear. What would you have to fear if you were already dead? Now, I think that's how martyrs have been able to look death in the face and confidently attest and die for their faith. I remember being incredibly moved by Cassie Bernal, the girl in Columbine High School who courageously proclaimed her belief in God before being killed in the school shooting. So the Columbine shooting took place in 1999 in a Colorado high school and shook the country. Two teens from the high school went on a shooting spree, killing 12 students, a teacher, and themselves, and wounded over 20 others. During the shooting, one of the gunmen allegedly stopped to ask Cassie if she believed in God, to which she responded, "Yes," accepting her fate while he pulled the trigger. In this split-second decision, Cassie's ability to retain her faith while facing an impossible moment like that was a testament to the death she already died with Christ. After hearing about the shooting at Columbine and Cassie's sacrifice, I kept asking myself if I would be strong enough or had the courage to die for my faith. How do I know I would be strong enough to say yes? After doing some searching, I began to realize that the decision to die for her faith wasn't made in a split second. But as her mom highlighted in the book she wrote about her life and Cassie's life and death, it was a decision Cassie made each and every day she chose to live for God. Maybe the decision to die for Christ isn't one that only some of us have to face if we're put into extraordinary circumstances. Instead, it's a decision we constantly make in how we choose to die to ourselves so that we can live for Christ each and every day. Thus, in dying for Christ, we are truly free to live the lives that God has always intended for us. In choosing to live for Christ, we can be confident in choosing to die for him too. "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" asked Paul. Our victory is in dying in Christ and in the hope of the resurrection. Whether it was Ignatius or the other martyrs in the early centuries, or those in modern times like Cassie, their sacrifices call us to remember the death we have already died in Christ, so we can live fully for God. Memento mori, indeed. Now, even though it's a remote possibility that we'll face martyrdom in our life, we still face small acts of martyrdom every time we make a choice to live for God. For example, even though Mother Teresa never died for her faith, her life shone like that of a martyr. She spent the majority of her life serving the destitute in Calcutta, India, taking care of the sick and the dying. Father Curlin, a priest who was visiting Calcutta, recalled Mother Teresa asking him to bless and clean an old man dying of leprosy. Sensing the priest's hesitation, Mother Teresa said, "Father, don't fear. If you look with your eyes, you'll see a leper. If you look with your heart, you'll see Jesus lying there." This is how she saw all people. She saw beauty and Christ in everyone, recognizing their need to be cared for and loved. Mother Teresa lived a life fully for God, giving all of herself to Him. It is the life of a living martyr. It is the lifeblood of the church and the driving force of its mission. It's what allows us to spread the Gospels, proclaim the love of Christ, and live out the love to all of those who are in need. It's what enabled early Christians to save abandoned babies off of Roman streets and care for the poor. It's what strengthens us to stand up for what's right and protect the marginalized, the lost, and the forgotten. Living the life of a living martyr is what drives us to care for kids in foster systems, to volunteer at women's shelters, to deliver food to the poor on the streets and inner cities, to rebuild homes for those who have lost everything, to visit inmates who have lost all hope, and so much more. Memento mori, remember your death in Christ. Remember your death so you can live out Christ's mission without fear, so you can live out His mission with confidence, wisdom, and love. Reflecting our death and our rebirth in Christ reminds me of the mythical phoenix. So the phoenix is a bird from ancient Greek mythology that dies only to be reborn in a burst of flame from its ashes. For those of you who are nerdy like me, you might remember the phoenix is a favorite pet of Albus Dumbledore from Harry Potter. So just like that of the mythical phoenix, we're also called to die so that we can be born again with fire in our hearts. Once we have died for Christ and continue choosing to die for Him, who knows how high we will soar? Every act of faith is one small act of martyrdom done for Christ. And with every sacrifice, the fires of love in our hearts will grow. And, as fires tend to do, it will spread. It will spread to the hearts of others as they see and feel Christ's love. It's why Christianity spread like wildfire in the early days of the church, and why it continues to spread like wildfire to all of those who hear the good news. The good news of God's love for us, the good news of Jesus' sacrifice, and the good news of the hope of the resurrection. So while the world chases immortality, we can follow the example of Christians like Ignatius, Cassie, and Mother Teresa. Memento mori, remember your death. Remember your death so you can live fully and freely for Christ. Please pray with me. O God, who gave us birth, you are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Give to us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Life here among us on earth as one who was prepared to die. And on that night when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he made the decision to gather around a table with his disciples, to share in community and to share in a meal. And when the supper that they were eating was over, he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means you don't need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup, then receive both elements at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Aaron up to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you wish. Remember your death, to live as one who is prepared to die. For through Christ, we have confidence in life and in death. Go in peace. Amen.